Amen. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. You may be wondering, what in the world is Pastor Ted doing with a saw on the stage? Is he about to cut some wood or something? Who knows, right? So we'll see. We'll see what the Lord leads us to do this morning. We've been talking about the Holy Spirit, and we introduced a series talking about the person of the Holy Spirit and how he's one of the three persons of God, and that he leads us to repentance. Amen. How many of you guys remember the day when the Holy Spirit led you to repent and to turn from your sins, and he convicts you of sin? We learn that he's also our healer. He's our comforter. He is our teacher. He is everything that we need, and he is a gift from God. And last week, we talked about the importance or the necessity that of the being filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And we believe that if we're to do the work of the Lord, if we are to evangelize, if we are to proclaim the good news of the gospel, we need a power that is beyond ourselves. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And so today, we want to talk about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So our main text today is found in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So I'll give you a chance to turn there and open up your Bibles, and we're just going to jump right into this thing. Now, this saw right here is it was a gift. It was a gift given to me from my wife, all right? It was one of the best gifts that I could possibly receive. I have used this thing so many times. I have built so many different things, some of the projects you see in here. This has been a very helpful gift. Anybody ever received a helpful gift, a gift that helped you in some sort of way or another? This is a very helpful gift. Now, as good as of a gift as this is, you know, God, and as good as a gift giver my wife is, because she knew that I would like this, God is an even better gift giver. Amen. Because even this thing will eventually rust, and you probably see some of the rust on this, and you probably see some of the scratches and decay, because everything on this earth is subject to rust and decay, and it will not last. But the gift that God gives is eternal. Amen. He gives the gift of himself. He gives the Holy Spirit, and we know if he's the person of God, then God is eternal. And so the gifts that God gives are eternal by nature. It will far outlast this saw, even though I love this saw, and it's a very incredible tool. And if you want to get your husband something for Christmas, this is the way to go right here. But anyway, this God's gifts are eternal, and they last forever. Amen. God is a good gift giver. In fact, he knows us better than we know ourselves. And so, I mean, times like whenever you like for Christmas time or birthdays come around, you know, we have little children, and you know, we give them according to what suits them. In other words, I don't just go out and buy like four makeup kits, and hopefully my boys will be happy with that, right? That would be tragic. My boys would probably look at me like, "Dad, what are you doing? I'm not into makeup." But each gift that we give is catered towards each child, and so it is. With the gifts of the Holy Spirit, that God caters to each of you because he knows you, he knows how he created you, and he knows your giftings, he knows what it is that he has placed within you to be an effective witness here on the earth. So before we get into our main text, I want to read a scripture that kind of backs that up. It says in Luke 11:13, "If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more would the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask?" He is a good father. He is a good gift giver. He knows you more than you know yourself. So therefore, he knows how to give the best gift accordingly. Now, our scripture today in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 says this. "Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit." So before we go any further, Paul is about to list for us several of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But before he does that, he says, "Look, I want you to understand something, that there is one Holy Spirit. There are many gifts, but there is one Holy Spirit." And so the Holy Spirit is the one who gives us the gifts, but they all come from one Holy Spirit. And so he emphasizes this, and he will say this over and over again in this particular passage. Verse 5, it says, And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. So again, we see, but the same Lord, but the same God empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. So a couple things that we see in this particular verse. That it says that to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit. Now, what is a manifestation? Something that has that comes to be about. Whenever God manifested himself in flesh and blood, he did so that we can see him, right? So that we can see God, that we can know God. It was a manifestation. He manifested himself in flesh and blood so that we can know, hey, this is Jesus, the Son of God. Amen? And so the gifts, in a sense, are a manifestation of the Holy Spirit. It's how the world knows and how we know that, hey, look, we are walking with the power of the Holy Spirit because the gifts are evident in our lives. It is a manifestation of some sort or another. So we're looking at it, and in the next verse, it says this, for in verse 8, it says, for to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith, again, by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between the spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills. Now, the gifts are given not for our own good, not to make a name for ourselves, not to promote ourselves, not to get rich quick, not to become famous, but the gifts are given for the common good. In other words, the gifts that are given to us are given to build the church and to edify the body of Christ, to reach the lost. That is why the gifts are given. So many times we shun away from this subject of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, because for so long we've seen man just pervert it and pollute it, and it became something that was never intended for it to be. God gave the gifts for building the church and edifying the body of Christ. Amen. That's what the gifts are for. Now, we're just going to kind of briefly, and well, before I did it, John Piper has an interesting way of saying this. He says, a spiritual gift is an ability given by the Holy Spirit to express our faith effectively in word or deed for the strengthening of someone else's faith. So the gift is not really for you, it's for strengthening someone else's faith. That is why God would give us the gifts. And it's not to become famous again, it's not to build yourself up, it's to build the faith of others. So in verse 8 it says, We have this list of the gifts of the Spirit. And so I'm just going to briefly talk about each one for a moment. The first one is the gift of wisdom. Is the gift to make choices and give leadership that is according to God's will. In other words, you're attuned to the will of God. You know what is wise. You know what wise decision is needing to be made because you are attuned to the will of God for your life. And you're able to lead others in a wise manner according to the will of God. Maybe you have the gift of knowledge, which is to have a comprehensive understanding of a spiritual issue or circumstance and to be able to give advice or counsel. In other words, you know the scriptures. You have a knowledge of the scriptures. You're able to see what the situation is, like whenever someone's going through something, and you're able to bring counsel. You are able to bring advice, you know, godly advice, because you have a knowledge. You have this gift of knowledge. Now, the next one is the gift of faith, the gift to trust God and inspire others to trust God, no matter the conditions. This comes in handy whenever you're dealing with someone who's just on their last road. They feel like, man, I don't have no other way. It just seems like everything is falling apart. Everything is going wrong. Everything, and they just feel like giving up. But because you have the gift of faith, you know what it's like for God to rescue you and to bring you through difficult situations. And therefore, you can use your gift of faith to encourage them to keep on keeping on, to keep on trusting in God. Therefore, you would have the gift of faith. So we're talking about the next thing is the gift of healing. Now, this is a gift to use God's healing power to cure a person who is ill, wounded, or suffering. And we're going to talk a little bit more about this, but You know, just having that faith to stretch out your hand and pray for someone and believe that God is able to heal their body. I was in the store this morning, and the lady was just saying, you know, her stomach was hurting. I said, well, let me pray for you. Let me believe God for you. Let me just believe that God is able to heal you. It's exercising that gift of healing. Then we're going to look at the next one is the gift of miracles. Now, a miracle is different than healing. A miracle happens like that, right? It's something that is only that is only God can do. Like if a limb would all of a sudden just grow out right now, like if that is a miracle. There was a man I used to read his books. His name was Smith Wigglesworth, and God used him to perform miracles. He would actually raise the dead. Pretty awesome. That is a miracle. That is something that only God can do. And so if you have the gift of miracles, man, that is awesome. But there are other gifts as well. We see the gift of prophecy. That is the gift to declare a message from God, including foretelling future events. So we had prophets in the Old Testament who would foretell of the coming of the Messiah. And they would foretell of the end of the age and the coming of the Lord. They declared a now word to Israel. Israel, get right with God, or this is coming. Judgment is coming. They would declare a now word for their generation. That's what a prophet does. And so perhaps you move in that gift where you have a now word for this generation. Then there's the gift of discerning spirits. And that is the gift to recognize whether or not something is truly from God or in accordance with righteousness. And this is very helpful to have as well, just to know, because the Bible says that there will be wolves dressed up as sheep. And so we need to have a spirit of discernment to say, well, this person is a wolf and is trying to snatch away the sheep. And so we must be wise. We must understand, and we must have a spirit of discernment. The next thing we come across is the gift of tongues. That is the gift to communicate in a foreign language that you do not have experience with in order to converse with those who speak that language. I'm thankful that whenever we go to El Salvador, that someone has the gift of tongues to interpret to us what they are saying in Spanish, because I do not understand Spanish completely. Amen. And so he has the gift of tongues, and he is able to speak in a tongue, in a language that, you know, that is able to present the gospel both to them, but also to us as well. And there's two parts of tongues I would like to talk about. There's that part, because we also see this in the book of Acts. Whenever the Holy Spirit came upon them, they spoke in tongues, and everyone who was gathered there heard the message in their own language. So there is that part. But then there's also the part where tongues is a prayer language between you and God. And Paul talks about this in 1 Corinthians 14:14. He says, "For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful." What is he saying? He's saying, I'm praying things from the spirit. I'm uttering things from my spirit. I don't understand them with my mind. It doesn't make sense in my mind, but I'm praying through my spirit. But then he says this, "What am I to do? I will pray with my spirit, but I will pray also with my mind. I will sing praise with my spirit, but I will sing with my mind also." He says, I'm going to pray. I'm still going to pray according to the spirit. I'm still going to utter those mysteries with my tongue, even though my mind doesn't understand them. But at the same time, I'm going to pray with my mind, with words that I can understand. So we see the gift of tongues. We also see the gift of interpreting tongues. Again, I'm thankful for translators who are able to interpret a specific tongue for me whenever I'm in another country. They can interpret that so that I can understand it. Paul, again, talks about this in 1 Corinthians 14:6. He says, "Now, brothers, if I come to you speaking in tongues, how will I benefit you unless I bring you some revelation or knowledge or prophecy or teaching?" In other words, he's like, I'm not going to, whenever we gather together, I'm not just going to speak in tongues, because you're not going to understand what it is that I'm saying. The gifts were given to build up the church and to edify the body of Christ. And so how are you edified if I'm speaking in a tongue that you do not understand? But then he goes on to say in verse 12, "So with yourself, since you were eager for the manifestations of the Spirit, strive to excel in building up the church." Again, we see this, the reason for the tongue, the reason for the gifts is to build up the church. "Therefore, one who speaks in a tongue should pray that he may interpret. So even in the prayer of a tongue, that he's seeking the interpretation of the tongue. So we see two things with praying in tongues. We see it was a language. It was given to proclaim the gospel in different languages, but it's also meant to be a spiritual prayer language between you and God. It's a language that the enemy doesn't understand. It's a language that you might not even understand, but you know it's coming from the Spirit. It's uttering groans and moans that only the Spirit is aware of. So we see two other gifts going back to our main text in 1 Corinthians 12. We look down at the verse 27 through 31. It says, "Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it." And you guys look around. We are one body. We have many members. We have many different people with many different giftings, but we are one body of Christ. And the church next door who raises up the name of Jesus and proclaims the name of Jesus, we are one body with them, right? And we are many members. And so the church throughout the world, the persecuted church in Asia, in all those different places who proclaim the name of Jesus, we are one body, but many members. Amen? So they are our brothers and our sisters, but we have many members and we have different gifts. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helping administration in various kinds of tongues. So now we see the gift of administration, and that is the gift to keep things ordered and in agreement with God's principles. So thank God for the gift of administration, because I do not believe that God is a God of chaos. Amen. And so many times I've been in churches, I've been in church for a long time, where a move of the Spirit would happen and great things were happening, but then there's always these one or two individuals trying to make a scene about themselves, right? They're trying to promote themselves. Look how spiritual I am. Look at me, look at me, look at me. And I would say that God is a God of order and he is not a God of chaos. And that is why we have this gift of administration to say, no, we're going to do things orderly and in an orderly way. And so thank God if you have the gift of administration, that is a wonderful gift. And we also see in this same scripture the gift of helps. And that is the gift of a desire and capacity to always help others. How many guys just love, hey, whatever it is, you just want to help. You just want to, if we're having a function at church, which we are next week. So by the way, if you have the gift of helps, we can greatly use you, May 2nd. Come and Mr. Jeremy is going to be preaching and it's going to be awesome. So if you have the gift of helps, you're always wanting to get involved. You always say, how can I help? What can I do to help? Then it's a good chance, a good probability that you have the gift of helps. And that is the gift of a desire and capacity to always help others, to do whatever it takes to get a task achieved. Now, again, these gifts are not given to build ourselves up, to make a name for ourselves. The gifts are given to build the church and edify the body of Christ. And so we must always keep that before us whenever we think about the gifts. Verse 29, in our main text, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it says, "Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the higher gifts, and I will show you still a more excellent way." So here we see something interesting, that not everybody has the same gift. Not everybody speaks in tongues. For those who believe that you have to speak in tongues to be saved, I don't believe that. The word clearly says not everyone speaks in tongues. Not everyone is a teacher. Not everyone has the same gift. Wouldn't the world be pretty boring if we all had the same gift? If God made us all the same, that'd be pretty boring. But God has made us unique. He's formed us uniquely and wonderfully made. And to some, he gives this gift of interpreting tongues. To some, he gives the gift of tongues. To some, he gives the gift of teaching. Now, we must also clarify something else, that when we're talking about the, certain gifts of administration and teaching, there are gifted teachers in this world who are secular who are not necessarily operating in the spiritual gifts, okay? They might have their gifting from God to be a teacher or to be an administrator, but their gifting is not encouraging, it's not building the faith, it's not strengthening the faith of someone else. And if it's not doing that, it's not a spiritual gift. Amen. The spiritual gifts are given to us, again, to edify the body and build up the church and to increase someone else's faith, to encourage someone else's faith. So there are great teachers, and I've had great teachers in my lifetime, but I'm not necessarily saying that they had a spiritual gifting to teach. So there's a difference right there. So in this, we see that not everybody has the same gift, and we all have unique giftings. I would also say that it is a good probability that throughout your lifetime, you will have more than one gift. That as you are faithful to using that gift, that God will be faithful and he will give you even more gifts. And so if you are faithful to reaching out your hand and praying with people and believing that God is going to heal them, guess what? Even more shall be given unto you. That's the parable of the 10 talents. You know, Jesus says he gives one man one talent, he gives one man two talents, and he gives one man five talents. And he says, be a good steward over what I've given you, basically. And whatever talent it is, whatever gifting of the Holy Spirit he has given you, use it. And that's the title of this message, by the way. Use the gift. Use the gift. We all have different gifts, but the instruction is the same, and that is to use it. So how do you know what gift do you have? How do you know what gift do you have? I would say this, that you find yourself in a situation where someone is, their faith is being tested in some way or another, and you take spiritual inventory of yourself and say, how can I help this person? How can I edify this person? How can I build their faith up? And as you begin to step out in that particular area, you're going to find, oh, the gift of healing is there. You know, if you have the faith to believe that whenever you lay your hands on someone that they will be made whole, then guess what? It's probably a good chance that you have the gift of healing. Amen? And so it's not like we're to make a claim that we're to say, oh, well, I have the gift of healing and you don't. I can pray with people and God will heal them through me and you don't have that same gift. You know, that's not what the gifts are for. The gifts are to glorify God. They are to bring glory to God. And so perhaps you find yourself in a situation again where someone's just down on themselves. They're just down on life. They feel like they have no hope. But man, you've trusted God through some difficult times, and you have that gift of faith to encourage them to have faith as well. Step out and encourage them. Use the gift. Use the gift of faith and build up their faith. Teach them to trust in God. Teach them that God is going to pull them through. And so as you begin to just step out and use the gift, that you're going to get even better at it. You're going to get better at the gifts. You're going to, like if you working in discernment, the more that you discern between evil and good, the better that you will be at it. Amen. And so that's the encouragement this morning, is to use the gift, whatever the gift may be, to use it. In fact, that's what 1 Peter 4:10 chapter 4, 10 through 11 will say this: as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks, as one who speaks oracles of God. Whoever serves, as one who serves by the strength that God supplies. In other words, if you're going to serve, you know, next week at Cinco de Mayo, because we need your help, then you're going to serve with all of your might, with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your strength. You're going to do it with a smile on your face. You're going to do it with joy in your heart. You're going to do it with merriness. You're going to do it with compassion. With all that is within you, you're going to serve the Lord. And as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So we see the purpose in God giving us the gifts is to bring glory unto God in the earth. So that man will glorify God. That they will see him as
awesome, that they will see him as wonderful, that they will see him as counselor. As you begin to walk in the gifts of healing, that they would see him as healer. As you begin to walk in the gift of faith, that they would see God as someone who can be trusted and that they can place their faith in. God would be glorified in the fact that you would be using the gifts. He wants you to have these gifts. He wants you to use them. Amen. Amen. We see just another exhortation very similar to this in the book of Romans chapter 12, verse 6 through 8. It says, having the gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. In other words, there's a different level of grace, a different level of faith given to each and every one of us. Let us use them. So again, we see that phrase, let us use them. Turn to your neighbor and say, use the gift. If prophecy in proportion to our faith, if service in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. So you see some of these words that we see. We're encouraged not only to use the gifts, but to use the gifts with zeal, with passion, with all that is within us, ultimately so that God would be glorified. Amen? And so just looking at that again, in proportion to our faith, each and every one of us has different levels of faith. But as you begin to step out and use the gift, God will give you even more levels of faith. In our serving, we give it all we got, everything we got. Even on your job, you are kind of serving in a sense. You give it all you got because you are representing the kingdom of God. And as you give it all you got on your job, and you give it all you got as you serve, you are bringing glory to the name of our God. Amen. And then we see in teaching, you know what? We're to be studious. We're to show ourselves approved unto God. Every time I prepare a message, every time I prepare a Bible study, I dig into the scriptures and I spend hours studying and meditating on the word. Why? Because I want to be approved unto God. I want to teach and teach diligently. Whenever I exhort, I want to do it passionately. Whenever I'm trying to exhort someone, hey, man, you can do it. Just hang in there. I want to be passionate about it. I want to use everything that is within me to influence or to build someone else up so that they, too, would have the knowledge of God, that they would see God as being good, that they would see God as being someone they can trust and that someone they can surrender their lives to. If I'm going to give, I'm going to give generously and with sincerity. I'm going to do everything I have with zeal, which is just energetic effort. I'm going to do it with cheerfulness. Anybody ever been to Chick-fil-A before? You know, I'm not a big fan, by the way. But anyway, every time that they give you your food, they say, it's my pleasure. It's my pleasure to serve you. It is my pleasure to use my gift to serve you in some capacity or another. What if the church grabbed this concept? It is my pleasure to use my gift to serve you, to benefit you, to grow your faith. That would be a different type of mindset, right? That would be something that God would want us to establish. Amen. So think about the gifts. Think about next time you're in a situation and you're talking with someone, they're just bummed out, whatever it may be, or you're trying to teach them the word of God. Begin to step out in that gift of teaching. Begin to exercise the gift, whatever that gift may be. You take spiritual inventory of what you have on the inside and say, how can I be a blessing to someone else? How can I build their faith? How can I edify them? How can I encourage them? How can I strengthen them? Amen. Hope this teaching has been informative to you. Hope it's been helpful in some way or another. We're going to just end out our service in prayer. You know, going back to this saw, this is a saw that was catered to me. This is a gift my wife gave me. She knew that I could use and that I would use. And God has a specific gift for you. He's created you in a certain way. And he's given you the gifts to use. Each and every one of us, though we might not have the same gift, you have some gift. And one gift is not more valuable than the other. They're all gifts meant to edify the body and encourage one another. So, Lord, I just come before you right now in the name of Jesus. And first of all, we thank you for the gifts. We thank you, Lord, for the gifts, Lord, to build the church and edify the body. Help us, Lord, to do that and to do that well. Lord, that we would look at each other and that we would encourage one another. Whenever we see a brother or a sister discouraged, God, that we would tap into the gifts of God and begin to edify them, begin to build them, begin to strengthen them. Lord, that also as we use the gifts, Lord, that we would use them, Lord, to evangelize this dying world, this world who does not know you as their Lord and Savior. That we would tap into that vein, Lord God, Lord, and that we would be demonstrators of your glory throughout the earth. That your name would be lifted up. That you would be glorified through our lives. Not for our praise, not for our approval, Lord, of men, not for our fame or anything, God. But Lord, that your name would be exalted, Lord God, through our lives and all that we do. In the name of Jesus. God, and I pray, Lord, for those who are just uncertain of the gifts that they may have, that they would just begin to do it. Just begin to use the gifts as they see the need. As they come across the circumstances, that they would begin to have the faith to step out and believe you, Lord God. So we thank you. Encourage our faith, God. Give us faith to believe that you are with us. Give us faith, Lord, to be a bold witness for you. Give us faith. Help us to be bold and courageous to declare your goodness, Lord, to those who are lost. Burden our hearts this morning. God, we just give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, use the gift. Use the gift. Amen. We love you guys, and we hope to see you all tonight at 6:30 at Aggie's Skating Land. Come and be a part. It's a great time where you can use the gift and encourage others. Hey, man, you can do this. You can skate. You don't have to fall every time. Or you may fall, but look, you can get back up. Amen. Amen. We love you guys. Have a good one.